The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports,
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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and I got a quarterback I want to talk about, but it's not the one we've been talking about every single day for the last year. Hey, let's do this. It's the What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Diabolical.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Raybould, Lord Voldemort, if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And it is a Wednesday. We do things a little bit differently. When you call, text, tweet, Twitch, whatever you do, put odds on it. Twitch.tv/ESPN975, by the way. Another way to get the show. What are the odds? It's going to be fun today, huh?
I think it's going to be fun, Freddie.
I feel really good about today's show.
I do, too. It's a hump day, they say. And, you know, we got one.
Every time you say that, I see that damn commercial with the camel walking through the office. Well, what day is it?
We should get a camel to sit in the back of our studio on hump days. So that'd be a good thing to have.
I remember what happened to the bear, though. That camel's getting violated.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
At least by me, but anyway. I think we're going to have some fun today, man. It's a nice day outside. Life is good. So everybody just relax. Enjoy yourselves. It's going to be a good day. I want to talk about a quarterback.
Dan Marino.
Nope.
Boomer Esiason.
Definitely not. Does he count as a quarterback anymore? I think he's just a talking head guy.
Bob Greasy.
No, and not Bob Griffin.
Brian Greasy.
No, not Brian.
Jay Fiedler.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
Am I getting warmer?
No, you're getting colder, actually.
P.J. Walker.
No, not P.J.
I give up.
Nicholas Foles.
I give up.
Nicholas Foles. No, rumors appear to be circulating that a certain guy wants to come out of retirement.
Andrew Luck.
Andy Luck, indeed. Bing, bing, bing. You got it on the 22nd guess. That's pretty good.
That was close.
Yeah, I don't know how believable some of this stuff is. There's a fan that claims to have personal texts of his wife saying that he really misses it. But you want to talk about a game changer if he can come back, if he wants to come back. I totally understood why he retired when he did, but what, 2 years out of the league now? I bet he's healthy. How much fun would it be to have Andrew Luck back? And not for Texans fan, but listen, actually, here's a positive for Texans fan. You're going to suck next year once you trade Deshaun. It's going to happen, right? Hey, if Andrew Luck's back, that's two more guaranteed losses. It helps your draft pick in 2022.
Yeah.
So you should be rooting for this. And then by the time, you know, this team's never getting good again, not as long as Jesus Easterby's there, but by the time they get semi-competitive, Andrew probably retire again.
Yeah.
But I was kind of excited to read that because I really like the kid. I like watching him play. He makes the Colts a lot more interesting.
And especially right now, even if you're a Texans fan right now, it's not like you're going, oh, the Colts are going to have Andrew Luck. That sucks. How are we ever going to be good again? Well, I mean, the Colts could have beat you with Jacoby Brissett, so it doesn't really matter. Texans are so far out of contention right now.
Well, both games were really close, but, you know, they basically fumbled the ball. They had a chance. They should have won one of them. If Andrew Luck's back, they're not in those games.
No.
I mean, he puts them away.
Well, and do you want that going forward?
If you're a Texans fan?
Yeah. Now you're going to have draft picks after this year. You'd like to have a good draft pick,
yeah,
right?
You kind of want to suck.
Yeah. 2-14 is way better than 6-10, guys. Let's remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. This
now,
is.
Now, this year it didn't matter because
of right.
buffoonery.
But
going forward, you're much better off going 2-14 than 6-10.
Well, so there. That is a positive. See, I put a positive spin on it.
Spin-a-rooney.
But just as a fan of the sport, it makes the Colts a lot more interesting. And I hope it's. I hope it's the case. I hope he's mentally ready to come back. And, you know, I'd love to. And I'm sure, I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know Andrew Luck. Have a lot of respect for his dad and him. But I'm pretty sure when you say, I want to spend more time with the family, and then you actually do it, I think after 2 years, you're probably like,
oh, my God, I'm so tired of this family.
Especially after a year in COVID.
Yeah. You were stuck, locked in that house with her.
You know, if Emily Kaplan would change her hair, you know.
That is not good hair.
No, that's a very unattractive look.
Well, I mean, not that that matters for ladies in sports. No. What's important is that they know their sports.
So.
You also got to hope that he doesn't come back and go, oh, I missed this game, and then get leveled one time in practice and go, I don't miss that part. I'm out again.
Yeah.
See ya.
Somebody said, I see nothing saying he's coming back, LOL. You got me excited. It's all rumors. Did I not say it was a rumor at the very beginning, sir? There has been some more smoke around it because earlier in the week, Jim Irsay was saying, oh, yeah, we'd love to have Andrew Luck back. And my thought was, yeah, of course you would. I mean, if I had your team, I'd love to have him back too. But, you know, yeah, so there have been stuff drifting around out there. There are no reports, though. So don't think I'm reporting this. Let me make this really clear.
Said Fred's a reporter.
Very specifically said there are rumors out there. So, yeah. But get your hopes up a little bit.
Unsubstantiated rumors.
Right. But they also...
But you know, Fred, I'm with you. I've always been an Andrew Luck fan. He was one of my favorite players in the league. I thought he was fantastic. I think that late in the game, he started to get some sort of unnecessary... grief. So I would love to see him come back. I don't know if he'll ever win a Super Bowl there, and that's always going to keep him from being a great, like an all-time great quarterback. But to me, he's about as fun as it gets. That's that. Like if I were building a quarterback, I always said I'd like to build one like Andrew Luck. Dude had everything. Really smart guy, great arm, mobile, accurate. He's a prototype. He's what you wanted. So I always enjoyed watching him.
And he was never got to be as great as he could have been because of the injuries and the fact that he retired when he did. But I still think he's got something left if he decides to play. And, you know, maybe his legacy's not written yet.
Maybe not.
And if it is, hey, at least
God bless him.
It's fun to speculate. It's more fun to speculate on that than, what if the Minnesota Vikings offered this for Deshaun Watson? I mean, I think it's more fun than that.
I think so, too.
So, because there's really not much left to say about that. Except for, you know, some general manager saying the Texans are basically saying, you know, we're not trading him. We're not trading the player. Nick said, we're not trading the player. And they're not taking calls, which is what you would do at this point.
Yeah.
As you get closer to the draft.
So what we have here.
Is failure to communicate.
Well, we have what's called a, I think, I don't know if you can still call it this in 2021. Can you still call it a Mexican standoff?
Si.
Yeah.
It's a Mexican standoff. What's the difference between a Mexican standoff and a regular standoff?
So, because when I send out my show stories, I thought about phrasing it as that at one of them last week. But apparently, the Mexican standoff is this both... have the option to kill each other. And if you kill one, you're going to kill yourself in the process, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
So basically, a Mexican standoff is a guy going, I've got a grenade, and you have a gun on him. Well, if he drops the grenade goes off, you're close enough, you're both dying.
Oh, okay. Like, he's pulled the pin, and he's like, okay,
from,
if you shoot
from
me.
From my remembrance of how I read it the other day, it was early in the morning, I hadn't woken up 100% yet. But,
still hungover, too.
So you read this just the other morning?
Yes.
Oh, so you're
yeah, because I wanted to phrase the headline as that, but at the same time, I was like, do I really understand what a Mexican standoff is?
Got it.
Or am I just using a phrase that I've heard?
Okay. Well, yeah. I was just using a phrase that I've heard.
Yeah, I have no idea what it means other than, you know, we're both pointing guns at each other.
That's it.
Because you hear it all the time in those old Westerns. Looks like we got ourselves a Mexican standoff.
That's right.
Or an enfrentamiento mexicano.
Look at you. There you go again.
Google Translate.
It's a stalemate where no side can win.
Okay. That's what we've got then. A Mexican standoff.
Basically, both parties are armed. Neither one wants to attack the other one because it will mean that their demise.
Yeah. Somebody's going to blink, though. I mean, that it just has to happen. So either Deshaun is going to withdraw his demands and show up like a good soldier, and maybe he's not the happiest soldier, but he'll show up and do his job because that's his job, and he'd like to get paid for it. Or the Texans will say, oh, the pressure's too much. We got a great offer. We'll look into it more.
How would they know what a great offer is, though?
I don't know that they would know.
There's no way they'll know. Like, somebody could come to them with the best offer in the world. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if that's a good deal. You know, 6 number one draft picks and 3 players and a small child. I think that's, I don't know if I can take that. All right, we're going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. Mott says a Mexican standoff was in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also somebody mentioned on the Twitch Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
I think he even said that, right? Aldo even said that?
Yeah.
Yep. And we got ourselves a Mexican standoff.
The German soldier says, he says we have a Mexican standoff. The German goes, you have to have guns on me. He says, well, I'm not armed, but they're armed upstairs. The second you shoot me, they're going to just throw down grenades and blow us all to smithereens anyways. So.
There you go.
In much more colorful
fashion. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was a Tarantino movie.
Aldo Raine might be my favorite Tarantino character. Which is saying a lot because he's got so many great ones. But I don't know if it was just a horrible accent or what.
I like, I forget his name, Christopher Waltz's character in Django.
That's a pretty good one. Although his character in Inglourious Basterds is pretty
good,
too.
He's very good, too, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think anytime Samuel L.'s in one of them, he's up there. Probably his Jackie Brown character was my favorite.
Yeah.
But, man... Even more so than...
I like Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that's a damn good one. Even though he's not really in it for that long.
Yeah.
But, and there's about 4 of them in Reservoir Dogs. Michael Madsen's character in Reservoir Dogs. I'm gonna torture you because I like doing that.
Well.
So... 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So I don't know if you saw this, but there was a report out that the Raiders were exploring the possibility of trading Derek Carr to get additional draft picks to make a run at he whose name we shall not speak.
Okay. Throw in Darren Waller.
Yeah, that's got to be one of them.
Do they have anybody I want on defense?
Yeah, well, you got to take something. They got to be better than.
Got to be something. Give me a cornerback.
Yeah, any breathing cornerback would be fine. And I know you don't have any pass rushers, so
no. Because John Gruden says it's very difficult to find pass rushers after he traded one of the best ones in league history.
I would just say if I'm the team that has,
ooh, how about Jonathan Abram, the safety that they drafted?
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
I'd take him.
Yeah. Okay, slap me if you think I'm wrong here. I think if the Texans made a deal that included Derek Carr, I wouldn't hate that.
I wouldn't hate it either.
I don't think you're that people are going to
get. Derek Carr is an incredibly serviceable quarterback.
I think he's better than serviceable. I do think he's held back a little bit by his coach. But if you look at his numbers, not all that different than the guy here in some key stats. And he's only $21 million a year in cap hit. So just something to think about. I mean, whoever comes next, see, that would almost be a bad idea. Whoever comes next should be a scrub because that guy's going to have no chance of succeeding or very little chance of succeeding. But, you know, because everybody's, oh, well, you're not Deshaun. I'll just throw this out there just for the people. For QBR last year, Deshaun Watson 7th in the league, 70.5.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Carr 10th in the league, 64.1. Yeah,
not way off.
Yeah. So
he had a good year, and he had a good year with, you know, Josh Jacobs missing a good chunk of time, and Henry Ruggs not developing the way they thought he would, and basically Nelson Aguilar being his number one receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some stuff there that makes you go, okay, well, this guy, he'll figure it out. I wouldn't hate a trade that involved that. Certainly.
I don't understand. You say Derek Carr's held back by his coach. What do you think the situation would be here? Probably the same.
Listen, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Like, you got to have somebody a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I'd rather have somebody who's got some ability. And I honestly don't think these guys could be that much worse than what John Gruden's doing on offense.
And if Derek Carr was held back by coaching, he was still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So who's to say he can't still be pretty damn good?
I wouldn't mind that. I'm just saying. And Rain Man said, didn't the Texans have a chance to draft the younger? Yes, they did.
Oh, that's a.
Wasn't that.
That's an AJ special right there.
Wasn't that Xavier Suafilo?
That's exactly who it was.
Ooh. How'd that work out?
It did not work out. And boy, do you remember how stupid Texan fan thought I was for hammering the table for Derek Carr in the second round? He's David Carr's brother. They'll never do it. Well, that matters now. Like, David Carr is now Derek Carr's brother. That, like,
yeah, exactly.
Derek Carr's had a much better career.
No question. So, yes, that's my quarterback talk. So I tried to do it without referencing. I'm trying to subtweet here. I don't want to reference the guy who actually is in town still and under contract. But so I'm kind of subtweeting. But that kind of works, right?
Yeah.
Went on Twitch says no quarterback can succeed on the Texans next year. I think it depends on what you get back. And I've been saying all along, I think you can turn things around faster if you trade the guy. The player. Yeah. So but you know, again, that depends on Nick getting things right with the draft and the trade and the players. And it depends on David Culley not being an idiot, which who
you
knows?
Can't really count on that.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel good. I mean, because I get that he was really sought after by lots of teams. And the Texans won the lottery. Kind of. Have you ever heard his name come up ever before?
For a head coaching job?
Yeah.
No, not once.
So what changed in the last...
He's a culture guy. That's what changed.
Well, you've got a culture guy. Allegedly.
Yeah.
You've got a character coach.
Yeah.
Who's destroyed the culture of your entire franchise.
Yeah, but now you've got a head coach that's a culture guy.
Okay, so...
That's better.
What if their cultures aren't quite the same?
Well, that's the goal, is you want it all to be on the same a flat organization.
Flatter or fatter?
Flatter.
Okay, I mean, because he's kind of thin. They do have thin guys in there now.
Yeah.
Nick's thin. I think
he's thinner.
Yeah, I think Jesus is thin, but
he's waifish.
We never see him anymore.
No, I've seen him.
He's like Adam Silver.
Yeah, he's like a shorter Adam Silver.
But I had a feeling Texans are going to be somewhat surprising, like the Rockets, if they trade Deshaun. It's a possibility. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. I just also see no hope for it because I have seen nothing from this group that encourages me that they know what they're doing. Says, what are the odds you could do a roadshow at Delta Downs this year? I've reached out to them many times about doing a show over there. I would love to. Frankly, I don't know why they don't advertise with us because we have a huge following over there. And I used to go there all the time and still do every now and then, like on the way to somewhere else, I'll drop in and place a few wagers. But yeah, if you know somebody there, tell them to reach out. We'd love to go over there. It's only a little bit farther than Beaumont.
Yeah.
So I guess we're out. We're out this Friday, and then I guess we're back at Sam Houston on the 19th of this month. So we're starting to trickle in some more road shows.
That's right.
So, and somebody asked, when is Texas bringing sports betting to the tracks? I wouldn't get my hopes up for this session. I think if you were a betting person and you want to bet with your friends, 2023.
Okay.
That to me seems viable. I think a lot has to change in this state for that to happen. But it is, I've always said sports betting has a better chance here, just like weed has a better chance here, because there's not neighboring states that are paying millions and millions of dollars to politicians to keep them from putting in casinos. And frankly, I'd be okay with that. If you give me sports betting and we got poker rooms now and I got horse racing, I don't need slot machines.
No, I don't care about that at all.
I know a lot of people love them. You probably like some blackjack.
Yeah, that'd be cool, but I mean, table games is the least likely.
Yeah, and frankly, it's probably not the worst thing in the world that we have to go out of town for that.
You're right. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Justin, we'll get to you when we come back and talk a little NFL trades.
Yep, first I got to tell you guys about Pajamagram. You're looking for a last-minute gift. I say a last-minute gift. I mean, it's still early February. You got a little while. But you want to think of something easy, something that you're not going to have to go way out of your way, but it'll seem thoughtful. Well, Pajamagram, that's where you go with. Give her the gift of comfort and relaxation with the Tempting Touch pajamas, the softest pajamas in the history of the world, made with the softest fabric in the history of the world, micro velvet. The Tempting Touch PJs will keep her warm and cozy from head to toe, and that's all year long. It's not they're not cold weather PJs. These will work all year long, and they complement her every curve. She's going to love them. You're going to love them, too. You can check out all the inventory at pajamagram.com. And best of all, every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, which means you don't have to wrap a thing. Less work for you, more loving for you. Go get her the Tempting Touch PJs. Get your free gift packaging today. Go to pajamagram.com. It's fast. It's easy. Delivery by Valentine's Day guaranteed. That's pajamagram.com. Tell them AJ sent you. I feel savage. She the definition of a bad bitch. Stole
her. I'm the definition of a bandit. I don't need no ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Promise a little NFL trade talk. Let's see what Justin has to say. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. I've kind of given in to the fact that Deshaun's probably going to get traded at some point. I was curious, when you see trades in the NBA around superstars, you usually see a three-team trade. I was wondering, why do we don't see that in the NFL?
It's just a lot more difficult. Well, I shouldn't say it's more difficult to trade in the NFL, but in the NBA, you see that a lot because different teams have different needs. Like, expiring contracts are very valuable in the NBA. Draft picks are more important to some teams than others in the NBA. And the fact that you have to match up salaries on players that are moving makes it easier to involve other teams sometimes than it would be just to trade straight up with people. I think that matching salaries thing is why you see it more often than not.
Yeah, the issue with it in the NFL, and we've talked about this before, it used to be kind of silly to suggest trades in the NFL because nobody ever made trades with big players. But it's become commonplace now ever since that stupid movie with Kevin Costner where he made dumb trades. Everybody's doing it. So I wouldn't be shocked at some point if something like that happened. And I guess technically the Derek Carr rumor we were talking about, wouldn't that be a three-team deal if they sent him somewhere else for two picks and then use those two picks?
Yeah.
I mean, in theory it would be. But now it's an odd time in the NFL because I think NFL players, especially because they have the shorter lifespan, right, than NBA players. And I think guys are kind of looking at stuff now. And if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm sorry. If I'm the player, I'm looking at it going, man, am I going to waste two more years here in my career?
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think at that point, if you are going to move a player like that, you're going to have to get a significant haul. And so it'll be a big deal. I mean, it should be the biggest deal in NFL history. And if it's not, then the Texans didn't do their job. And I would just say if they don't do their job, are you going to be shocked? No, because we know what they are now. They're a confederacy of dunces. They're a bunch of clowns. They're a bunch of dumbs. And I don't know who the smart is over there.
A confederacy of clowns. That's a good one.
Well, okay, but there was a book called Confederacy of Dunces. But we'll call them a confederacy of clowns. That's it. From now on, they're the COC. Congratulations.
Confederacy of Clown Kings.
Because, well, we know what Jesus is. We know what Cal is. And we thought Nick was going to be okay. But his first move is David Culley? Okay. Yeah, you know what? Clowns. Oh, man. So I guess they canceled the rodeo today.
Canceled it?
I think they canceled it.
Yeah. I thought they were just bumping it back to May or something.
Nope. They sent out an email to everybody today that they have officially decided it just doesn't need to happen because of health concerns. And
that would be a super spreader event.
Yeah.
I mean, they pack so many people in that place. And really, like, I mean, if we were packing those many, like, it wouldn't make sense to have all those people there or like, to have, like, the acts, the music acts, and have, like, 10% capacity. That's why nobody's doing concerts.
Yeah.
And that's become really a bigger selling point for the rodeo than the actual rodeo, like the livestock show and rodeo, is the concert event. So if you can't have concerts, then what's really the point? I'm not against that. I know it brings a lot of money to the city. I get it, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I mean it's,
and if it ended up being an outbreak, it'd be a horrible look.
Yeah, and the reality is it sucks, but it's just, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Events and entertainment right now, it's just a mess, and that's one of the biggest events in the city, and it you know, but it's just another casualty of this mess, and we just got to hope it gets better by the end of the year. I mean, that's my hope. Is, you know what I did today? I signed up for the wait list for the vaccine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess I need to do that. I keep forgetting to do it.
So, because I drive by 610 sometimes when I'm going home because of traffic, how excited are the guys that have to hang those stupid banners on the sides of NRG? Like, right now they're up, they say, "We are Texans." And then rodeo season, they come, they change them to the rodeo ones. And then they have to change them back to the Texans ones as soon as basically, like, the summer ends.
Yeah, that's
how happy are those guys that they're not, you know, 5,000 stories in the year having to have those damn banners again this year? They just leave up the Texans ones all year.
You know what we need to do? We need to sneak in and put up COC banners with a big clown face on them.
Can they be the Clown Kings?
That
way their acronym can be...
No, because... No. We're not adding kings to this because that implies royalty. You know?
What about clowning knuckleheads?
No, it's
complete
done.
Knuckleheads.
It's COC. Deal with it.
How do you say it?
Kosh.
Kosh.
No, I say it's C-O-C. It's an acronym.
Okay.
You don't actually pronounce it as a word. Oh, man. That's whenever anyone mentions Jesus or Cal or Nick, you know, hashtag C-O-C.
There you go.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You know, maybe we should add the K to the end.
I mean, it just works.
It kind of does. I mean, it's not as good from a content standpoint, but from a smart-ass standpoint, I think it's better.
There you go.
Fair enough. There we go. That's it. We'll add the K. That's your Texans. Of course, you don't want to do hashtag we are COC.
Right.
We don't want to do that. So, Nico Adams says, hopefully the two Rage Against the Machine shows I have tickets for don't get postponed again.
They probably will.
Yeah, because I missed out on three shows. One was the Shinedown Deep Cuts tour that was coming to Houston. One was the Letterkenny guys were coming to UH to do, you know, skits and stuff, which I was really excited about that. And then we had tickets for the Fall Out Boy Green Day Weezer show in Toronto. That got pushed back to August of this year, but from what I understand, it's going to get pushed back again.
Yeah.
So it sucks, but, you know, there's a lot of things that I think I think the concert world is going to change quite a bit because may not be as many venues left. I think certainly movies are going to change, and that's kind of interesting because, yeah, I'm working on a project now, and we're talking about the best way to distribute it, whether or not it's, you know, because theaters are not, I mean, that's going to be old school.
Yeah,
it already is
old school.
Yeah, and, you know, so I think that's going to change a lot. But, you know, the good news is, I mean, I hope there's tunnel at the end of this light. I really do. And, yes, I said that on purpose. It's just, you know, maybe these vaccine things work. I don't know. I'm just afraid we're never going to, there's just a lot of things that, like, I mean, even brick and mortar stores were already having some struggles. Well, now with Amazon and people have gotten in the habit of doing it, how do you get them out of the habit? Going back.
Yeah.
Cause frankly, you know, like I needed to buy a new belt today and I just got online and ordered one off of Amazon. It's like, I'm not going back to that. I'm not going to a store for that. And I'll have it in a day, and that's that. So, A32 said, used to change billboard signs for a living. Last year, we put 12 rodeo signs up in a day and then took all 12 down the day when they canceled.
Oh.
I mean, if you get paid hourly, good for you.
Yeah.
So he said, Letterkenny is coming. No, they were coming in April of this year.
Last year.
Or last year now. Yeah, it was 2020. And I was so excited about that. I had Aaron working on trying to get one of them on the show, and we weren't able to do it. But then, of course, it got canceled.
So it mattered not.
Nope. Oh, boy. Somebody says the Confederacy of Clown Knaves. You still get your acronym, and a knave is not a king. I don't know. I think the acronym's the important part here.
I think that's the most important.
Because sometimes we refer to somebody as a king in a negative way.
Yeah.
Like this guy.
Well, if you're the king of the clowns, that just means you're the greatest clown.
Although the definition of knave is kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Define it for us, please.
And dishonest or unscrupulous man.
Ooh.
Does that not describe Jack, which knave is, of course, another term for Jack?
How dare you? You call him unscrupulous. That's a man of God.
Oh, sorry, Judas.
You know what it is in Spanish? Bribon.
Do you just keep it up all the time?
Yeah. I've got Google Translate
nonstop.
And every time I feel like translating something, yeah, one day it's French, one day it's Spanish, some days it's Arabic. It just depends on. And poor Marine talking about his wife is Japanese and all of her family is. Yeah, that's another one. I'll add Japanese to this. We'll throw that in there.
Someone was asking about UH tonight. They play the early game. It's tough. Their numbers are starting, like when you're a cover machine and UH is a friggin' wagon right now.
Yeah.
Covering the spread. They make the numbers hefty. And 16 and a half, 17 on the road is hefty. Like, they could play a really good game and not cover that.
Right. So, that's one where you could, just like Baylor against Auburn, you know?
Yeah.
Baylor was clearly better and didn't cover that.
If I had to pick a side, it would be UH. But it's a pass for me at that number. I definitely wouldn't bet East Carolina. And then the total is 133-ish. It's about what I would assume it would be. If UH blows them out, it probably goes over. So if you lean that way, then I'd probably go over slightly, but that you've lost value on that because it opened at 128.5.
Yeah, I just think I'd stay away from it. I that number to me for a road game is just begging me to bet the dog, but I've seen enough of this UH team that, I mean, they played, I think, one of their worst games of the season against SMU and still won by 22 points.
Yeah.
So, They're just a tremendous machine right now.
And I will say East Carolina, besides Tulane, they split their games with Tulane. So I feel comfortable saying besides Tulane, worst team in the conference.
Well, where you could get into trouble here is that if UH gets out to the big league, they're gonna put the scrubs in.
Yep.
And that's where you see a lot of covers in those kind of games. Even though the team played well enough to cover a lot of times.
And really, that's going to be kind of the case the next two games, two road games in a row. And, in fact, if you see a big fat number against South Florida next Wednesday and they've got Memphis on deck that weekend, it may be a good time to fade UH, especially if they blow out East Carolina tonight. But the game tonight's just a hard pass for me.
Yeah, and I have no hockey tonight. I was 1-1 last night. The game I really liked went under. The other one, the problem with under sometimes, get a couple of cheap goals that had no business going in, and you score 7 instead of the 5 you were supposed to score. But, oh well. All right, I have to tell you about my good friend, Dr. Linville. And today, I came in without a hat. For those of you who always say, why are you always wearing a hat? Want to see the hair? Well, here's the hair. Get on Twitch and check it out. Yeah, and if you go to 975hair.com, you get a free consultation if you're an ESPN listener. You just sign up for it and find out what it's about. It's really a cool procedure. This isn't hair plugs or anything like that. This is your own hair. He just takes it off the back of your head and puts it where it's not. And now I got the mafia look going where I can slick it back, and I have hair again. And it's really awesome. And, boy, coming up on about a year and a half now since I had the procedure done. And the cool thing was when you meet with Dr. Linville, take a look at his hair, because guess what? He had it done too, and his hair looks great. So if you're still working from home, now's the perfect time to get it done if you don't want people to know what's up. And you just show back up at work, and they will have forgotten that you didn't have any hair. So go to my man, Dr. Linville, 975hair.com. Make that appointment today. Get your hair back, 975hair.com.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
Here we go. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Listener Steve asked, -7 on the Rockets tonight. Thoughts? I'm sorry, man. I can't help you with basketball, with NBA.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't. I don't spend any time. I really don't spend any time at all on handicapping NBA. And I maybe make 2 bets a year, so I would just be guessing. And, college basketball, because I follow UH so closely, I have a pretty good feel for when to bet on them and against them. And then the rest of the time, I just, when AJ's really on something, I'll take a look at it myself, and I'll jump on it a lot. But spending most of my time on horses and hockey overs. So, but that's just me. Sorry. Any thoughts on the Baylor versus Texas game from last night?
Man, pretty impressive. There was a time, I guess, probably 4 minutes into the second half that Texas looked like they were going to really make a run. I think it was maybe a tie game or they took a they were close to, you know, maybe 1 point off. And then Baylor went on a 12-2 run and basically pulled away. So, and they had a 10-0 run in there at some point in the first half. So just a game of big runs and, you know, that's not, it wasn't a great matchup for Texas, but.
Well, they're not really a great matchup for anybody.
They're not. God, Baylor can, they can switch all five guys. And if you watch them, I watched, I don't know, probably 10, 15 minutes of them playing Kansas State. Now, mind you, Kansas State's a horrible, horrible team. But Baylor, I mean, they probably were switching on defense. Kansas State was trying to throw them off, trying to throw them off. They don't care. All five guys can switch. They can all cover everybody. It's just brilliant defense. And it's fun to watch. You saw it again last night. It is a pretty good Texas team. And to beat them by 14 points in Austin, and they had everybody. Texas got everybody back. It wasn't like last week when Oklahoma beat Texas without a couple key guys.
Right.
They didn't have Ramey. They didn't have Jericho Sims. They didn't even have Shaka Smart. This was like the best of Texas, and Baylor just spanked them. So, yeah, they're the real deal. I think they're number one in KenPom now. I haven't looked, but
wouldn't shock me. I mean,
they are number one.
They're going to have a better resume than the Zags will at the end, I think, because of the Big 12. You know, because that getting to play Kansas, Texas, and Tech certainly helps.
Well, Gonzaga played Kansas. Gonzaga played West Virginia. So they played some of the better teams in the Big 12, too. And they also played Auburn and Iowa and Virginia. But week in and week out, the Big 12, it's a tougher conference. So I don't hate on Gonzaga for their scheduling this year. They've definitely not dodged anyone, and they've tried to play Baylor.
Yeah. Well, they were supposed to.
They tried to play UH. I mean, they've tried to play a lot of games. They want to be challenged.
I'm trying to find out what happened there, why they couldn't pull it together.
I saw Kelvin, you know, talking about, well, we just couldn't make it work. I want to know why.
Yeah, I know. It seems like a pretty easy thing to put together, but I don't know. I didn't have to do it. But yeah, I'm trying to find out though, because there has to be a why. Because I know that UH wanted to do it too.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been great for both of them. It would have been great for college basketball. And, you know, that would have been – well, I mean, I'm going to watch it, whoever UH plays anyway,
yeah,
because that's what I am. But a chance to play against the Zags would be awesome.
But when it does happen, when Baylor and Gonzaga eventually play, which I have very few doubts that they will eventually play, I think Gonzaga is the best offense in the country. Apologies to Iowa and some of these other, hell, apologies to Baylor and Villanova. And I think Baylor's the best defensive team in the country. And that's apologies to Houston and Tennessee and, you know, Michigan, who's very good defensively too. I just think that those two teams match, when they match up, it's just going to be really, really fun to watch.
Well, if we get that matchup, because you know the tournament, man,
you
have one game where some little white guy hits 33s and you're missing your shots, and you know, you look up and suddenly, holy bleep, we lost.
Yeah.
How did that happen? So for both of them to get through, I would say is probably a long shot, but I'd like to see it.
Well, we were talking to Brad. I'm surprised there's not a Vegas prop of Gonzaga or Baylor versus the field for national championship.
Yeah.
And Gonzaga and Baylor would probably be like minus 120, minus 125. But
I'd probably take that bet, because I think it's going to be hard for both of them to get upset.
That's the problem. Somebody's got to probably beat both those teams along the way if you're going to win.
Maybe
the championship.
Yeah, I mean, unless it happens early, but I could see one of them getting upset. I don't know that I could see both of them getting upset. A couple things from the Twitterverse. You think Aaron Rodgers will pull a similar stunt in Green Bay that Watson is doing here? I don't. I think
Rodgers is an emotional dude.
Yeah, and it was right after a loss, and he even walked that back a few days later. That's why you can't run with that stuff the way everybody did. Oh, does that mean his future's up? No, man. He just lost the championship game. He's bummed. And King Larry said, I think the Jets and their draft picks would do the best for the Texans now and beyond. that also means we could draft Zach Wilson for BYU. Yeah, I like Zach Wilson. I'm not going to take him at the top of the draft, which means I'm not going to get him.
Yep.
I like the guy a lot, but I don't like him enough to use a top 10 pick. To me, he should be a late first rounder. And, you know, and if you get him and you wind up getting a really good player there, that's a bargain. If you wind up getting him at 5 and he turns out to be not very good, say he turns out to be, I don't know, maybe the upside's Jared Goff, that's not really worth that pick. So, although Jared Goff is really confused as to why the Rams gave up on him.
Yeah.
I think it's real simple. Matt Stafford. You had a chance to get Matt Stafford. That's an upgrade. And I think it makes the Rams legitimate Super Bowl contenders again. Not that they really weren't before, because they've been there. But and I'm happy for Matt Stafford. That poor guy has been toiling in Detroit for so long.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Deshaun's looking at that saying.
Now, mind you, he did have
he had
some Calvin Johnson in there. Yeah. Like it's
yeah, but for the most part, it's been pretty bleak. Somebody asked, Fred, on a scale of 1 to 10, how baked are you right now? How about 0?
0 baked? Well, that's good.
Yeah, I haven't.
Thanks for not coming to work stoned.
I don't. I only partake at night, like after the show, and weekends sometimes. But it's not like every day. I mean, it's 3, 4, 5 days a week. It just depends. Sometimes I'll go 2 or 3 weeks without anything. Just depends. How has Scott Drew not gotten a better job by now?
I think he's happy where he is.
Yeah. I think...
because you could say the same thing about Mark Few, and Mark Few's been there forever.
Yeah.
He just he doesn't want to leave.
And...
like, maybe I could maybe one day see Scott Drew leaving for Butler, because that's where he's from. Other than that, I don't think he does. I think he's happy there.
Well, and I think college basketball is a little bit different, and you've been saying this for a couple of years. You do have your blue blood program still, but you can win at Baylor.
Yeah.
And if you can win a championship there and they're going to pay you a bleep ton of money,
why would $2.5 million
why would you go to Kentucky? And a lot of these schools that, you know, like looks like Kelvin Sampson's getting UH to a point where maybe they can win one. Obviously, Gonzaga can win one. You don't need to be at Kansas or Kentucky or Duke. And if you're happy where you are, plus at Baylor, you can probably cheat a little more and not get caught because you don't have all the eyes on you that Coach Cal has.
That's probably true.
They're also the number one team in that school now that football has gone back to what it was. He can do anything he wants. He could walk up and slap the president of the university in the face, and they'd go, "You still winning? Yeah? Okay. Here's your check."
Well, and also remember that he basically rescued that program from what happened under Dave Bliss.
Right.
Which involved
murder.
Murder of players and, like, covering up, you know, illicit tuition payments. I mean, it was just a mess. Baylor basketball was in shambles, and he came in and really, like, it stunk for a few years because it looked like they were just going to be buried forever from that thing. And I think, like, after they made the tournament the first time, I don't know how many times they've missed it since. I mean, they've just been on a roll.
And they've always been one of those teams that winds up not getting as far in the tournament as you think they should a lot of times. This team's different, though.
I think they've been to some Elite Eights. I don't think they've been much further than that. But, that's for Baylor basketball. You looking for more? Like,
well,
this year you can be. But, I mean, typically, if you go into every season saying Baylor's an Elite Eight type team, if you're a Baylor alum, you're pretty happy about that.
Oh, I think so, but I also think you should have higher goals at this point.
I think this year they do.
And, well, I think they've had them in the past too, but this team, like I said.
Well, and last year, I mean, that team lost 3 or 4 games all year last year.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what would have happened if they would have played a tournament last year. They were right there.
All righty. Let's take a quick break. Hour one in the books. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.